Blog Talk Radio.
Giblets. Now, the visit to the dentist wasn't quite as bad. And no, I'm not referring to Isaac Yankum DDS. For those of you people who do not remember that gimmick, please do your best to research. And for those of you who do, we all remember that it was one man and one man only, but we didn't know that he would be the big red machine in the near future. Speaking of Monsters on Raw, that showing of Braun Strowman being a complete and utter monster last night was awesome. And why? Because it just was. You saw Braun Strowman go from backstage area around Gorilla to around the production truck where Kevin Dunn was residing in, and let me just say, it was a beautiful sight when you see Kevin Dunn basically, you know, running in fear alongside his co-production members in the truck. And I got to say, the entertaining part of this was, well, the fact that Braun Strowman was completely destructive last night. It was great. It got the audience intrigued. And it also reminded a small portion of the audience, or lack thereof, that's 30-plus, that tuned in to watch said show last night, because 25 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, Monday Night Raw, emulated from my neck of the woods, New York. Okay, everywhere you go, you would see signs posted on the street. You would see billboards posted for WWE Raw, because WCW really didn't have anything other than, well, Sting, Hogan, Savage. They didn't have Piper yet, so we can't say him. But WWE Raw last night featured a lot of interesting matches, not really. Sonya Deville versus Sasha Banks. Not really caring about Sonya Deville still, so good luck with that. As you can tell, last night the only interest that I saw, Michael Cole getting tossed onto a bunch of security extras, really funny shit. Also, you know, the fact that they lured in a lot of fans, oh, he's fired. Really? Are we going to fire someone that is a part of the mixed match challenge? And also, are we going to fire someone that's part of a triple threat match at Royal Rumble for the Universal Championship? Didn't think so. Because if they truly did fire him, usually it's personal indifference. Usually company fires someone on camera. I mean, and that's not necessarily always true, but if we take a look at the tail of the tape last night, the most interesting portion of the night was when Braun Strowman was seen in catering. I mean, the guy was literally seen all over the place tearing up the joint. It was beautiful. And you can tell by the glee in my voice that I didn't have to talk about sports other than the fact that in the AFC Championship, it's the New England Patriots at home versus the Jaguars. And my little segue into sports, I guess you could say. The Philadelphia Eagles, for the umpteenth time in the NFC Championship, and I say umpteenth time because they've been here before. Let's see how well they do against the Minnesota Vikings, who pulled off an amazing victory against the Saints. We'll see. Anyways, back to more important things. Asuka and Nia Jax, I mean, the entire night of Monday Night Raw kind of featured a blend of things. You see, this generation isn't used to good matches. That's kind of a lie because there have been decent matches. There have been, how do I put this, sleepers, when it comes to WWE. That's what NXT is for. That's why they are the saving grace. So 25 years of Monday Night Raw. I'd like to discuss more with you than just Braun Strowman tearing up the joint and making life interesting once again on Monday Night Raw. It seems that Michael Cole is forgotten because he was a part of the introduction of the Attitude Era, as well as some other WWE talent. The Attitude Era wasn't the only era of Monday Night Raw. There was the Rock and Roll Era, Rock and Roll Express, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty, Sensational Sherry, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect, anyone, Vader, Duke the Dumpster, Bastion Booger. I know my instructor is going to kill me if I don't tell his name. Mr. Scott Vita was a part of the very first Monday Night Raw in 1993. And a place we like to call the Manhattan Center. I mean, there's been guys over the years and gals that we would like to either remember forever and put them, etch them in our memory banks. And then there's people we'd like to forget. But, you know, I don't have the idle time to sit back and just list every superstar that I recall from Monday Night Raw, although 25 years of watching this crap, or watching this stuff, my bad, or show, to better rephrase this, I do remember Raw was kind of boring at first, and then it got interesting when you added gargantuans or huge guys like Yokozuna and Mabel, who literally turned into Viscera, and Yokozuna kind of became non-existent after 2000. I mean, you look at the list that came from Monday Night Raw. The only women they had, Bertha Faye, Alundra Blaze, Aja Kong, Sensational Sherry, Luna Vachon, Chyna, Terry Runnels, Jacqueline, then the list kind of proceeds to be better. You had Chyna, who kind of came out of nowhere as a valet, as a protective security guard for Triple H. You've had Rick Rude, the Ravishing One, who's, you know, was in between ECW, I guess WCW and WWE. I don't know how the man managed to go between all three promotions at the same time. You've had, at one point, Rob Van Dam. You know, during the tenure that he was not a full-time Raw guy, but from ECW to Monday nights, didn't quite pan out the first time, but the second time around after the Alliance, him, Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, the Dudley Boys. People forget about ECW being a part of the Monday Night Wars. They didn't necessarily have the platform to do it, but Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff were part of this, okay? 25 years ago, ECW and WCW and all the territories, oh yeah, folks, they did exist. Am I going to give you a SmackDown Live recap or of last week? No. A preview of this week. Why? Because it's just the same, you know, story spiel that has been going on between Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. And now, and AJ Styles is in the mix now, so I guess that makes things a little different. Wink, wink. Anyways, to what I was talking about. 25 years ago, it was January, Bobby the Brain Heenan got thrown out of the building several times, and it was really, really funny. And it was in, where else? As I said, my neck of the woods, 45 minutes away, the Manhattan Center, which is a tiny building that can seat, you know, less people, but now I guess they've expanded it, made it bigger, no, but I remember Mike Chioda telling stories on the network about how they got elevator parts into the building, ring parts, and they had to go up an escalator to bring some of the bars and stuff that hold the bearings of the ring together, and pieces of wood and pieces of canvas. There's a lot of stories that can go on to Monday Night Raw. For example, Everyone will equate the Monday Night Wars 25 years ago. They didn't start till 95, folks. And to be quite honest with you, I watched something last night that showed that WCW was trying to grasp, you know, more or relate, I should say, more organic characters than cartoonish characters. Like, cartoonish meaning Isaac Yankem, DDS, King Mabel, The Undertaker was not cartoonish at all in the least sense, but the way that they had him gimmicked at the time, he was the predominant dude that you did not want to fuck with. WCW had Hogan at that time, and at 96, Bash at the Beach, the turn that created or sparked the Monday Night Wars, the NWO. And who would have thought, you know, Mick Foley was a vital piece during this time. He wasn't really a character that Vince was a fan of, okay? If you look at Mankind and the introduction that he had during his tenure, his very first appearance on Monday Night Raw, because Mick was kind of all over the place. He would put on boring matches in ECW when they wanted Cactus Jack from Hardcore, you know. He was known for his hardcore shit from WCW. And how does this tie into the 25-year anniversary of Raw? Guys, if it weren't for Mick Foley falling off that Hell in a Cell, 1998's King of the Ring in the Igloo in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, let me just tell you, the WWE would not be quite where they're at right now. They've got the funds because of a little thing called WrestleMania, which was ultimately discovered or founded by Howard Finkel and patented by Vince Kennedy McMahon Jr. And, Monday Night Raw, that's Vince's love child. It's in your face. It's Raw. It's every Monday night. It went from 2 hours back to 3 hours, back to 2 hours, back to 3 hours. It's still up there in ratings. Barely. By the numbers, folks, is what I'm looking at right now on my screen. Do you know that the highest rated segment to this day, 9 million people for the Rock, This Is Your Life segment. That segment, meaning, you know, for a brief 20, 25 minutes, Mick Foley was just going off the graphics, not really, just making shit up and still managing to make the audience be intrigued by it. So, yeah, I'm spewing off crap that may bore you to tears, but it is kind of a milestone, whether you're into WWE or not into WWE. This is a milestone. This is something that people will dream of going to, and it's only, like, I guess yours, up to yours truly, to be the guy that gets to go to events again, because a friend of mine, by happenstance, I have to work the night, and I don't really care about this wrestling shit. I know you do. Here's the tickets. That's different than he said he couldn't. Well, why are you not being specific? How did you hurt your leg? He said he kicked the phone when he couldn't get the tickets. I guess how fortunate, lucky for someone to win a radio contest that way. I'm referring to me being one lucky bastard. Okay. Hold on, folks. We're going to pause 10 seconds for identification while I pull up these statistics so I can be accurate, if you will. Give me one good second to pick something. All right, let me see here. Ah, yes.
Oh,
than I expected. It's showing here, according to the website TV by the numbers, USA, oh my, my goodness. On January 1st, it's at a steady 2.784, TV rating of almost 1. WWE, 2.7, so it went up in numbers, I believe, when it comes to ratings. So, by the numbers on that date, aha. However, the numbers against college football, you know, they didn't do so hot on the 8th. Well, if I'm reading these numbers correctly, it's still the same numbers as it was on the 7th, or the 1st. It had 2.865 million viewers on New Year's Day on the episode for Monday Night Raw. It went down only a tenth in viewers, drawing 2.766 million viewers. Now, I'm going to look at some numbers here, folks, live on this show, just to prove my point. The WWE Raw, when you have 3 hours of crap, it's going to show. Obviously, it probably went up this week because of what Braun Strowman did. It's going to go up and down throughout the entire duration of the year 2018. I mean, come on. There's rumors circulating that Ronda Rousey signed a contract. If that doesn't get numbers for WWE, then I don't know, because it's still popular. And yes, people like to poke fun at it because it's wrestling, but the bigger names you get, the more people are going to tune in and say, hey, I got to watch this show. Now, I'm not going to pull up numbers because we know during the time frame from WWE Raw ratings in 1998 till about now, let's read that, shall we? Because I got to see how high the ratings were, because they showed some of the ratings on that thing on the network between April and August, the mid-month reviews, okay? And let's just say, from experience, while I'm making noise here, plugging in my charger, WWE Raw has been a flagship show for the last 25 years. It's outlasted Nitro, it's outlasted Thunder, it's outlasted even their own pay-per-views that they don't do anymore, because at the time, WWE was basically steamrolling 97 to about 2000, and in that time period, WWE Raw was full of guys, full of superstars like Triple H, Stone Cold, Bret Hart, kind of, sort of, the Nation of Domination, Legion of Doom, the New Age Outlaws, the Apocalypse. I mean, there's plenty of names that kind of were synonymous with the ratings. So, really, if I'm going to look up these numbers, this is what's going to happen, folks. You might want to be in for a shock. And for those currently watching the show, you might want to take a seat when I read off these numbers, comparatively speaking, to now, okay? Let me pause 10 seconds for station identification once again, folks. We apologize for the inconvenience. WWE, by the numbers, folks, there's charts for it, there's pretty much, yeah, TV ratings, daily ratings, weekly ratings, yeah, I'm not going to click on that one. Oh my goodness. All right, folks, we're looking at January 2nd through 5th. This is Raw and SmackDown live ratings. Oh, this is really sad. Well, the numbers don't lie. I kind of told you that. This number 207. So the average total between Raw and SmackDown Live, according to Gerwick.net, 277,000 viewers, 250. That's over the course of people who tune in. So Raw in 2017 got a whopping total on average of 2.08 viewers. That's not bad. That is the number that you want to keep it at. You want to keep it above one. And SmackDown Live, their average was 1.76. Yowza, and holy crap. I mean, this is just insane. I've never seen ratings this low at all. This is by far kind of very shocking because, actually not really. So, wow. I'm not really surprised, but let me look at 1998 when Raw was at its peak, because that's when they have the numbers listed, folks. 1998, Nitro and Raw. This is interesting, the numbers. Nitro actually beat out Raw most of the time, the average viewers. 4.43 in 98 for WCW. And that's interesting what they said on Monday, you know, about the whole war, the Monday Night War. 4.43 million viewers versus. So, yeah. This is interesting. And that's close. That's by 0.8. Not to bore you mathematically, but here's the thing, guys. I'm looking at the years by the numbers. Let's look at 99, shall we? Because WWE Raw isn't just based on numbers, it's also based on people, right? Well, 99, well, it tells a different story, folks. On the very first episode, first episodes, you're going to see an income, or, yeah, numbers go up. Okay, let's just summarize it at that. The highest rated episode in 1999, 6.35 million viewers on August 1st through August 5th. So they basically hit a 6 million viewer average. And that was 1999. You really want to talk about numbers? Compare that to now, and what do you get? Okay, I'll tell you what you get. In the last few years, TV ratings, 2015, since there's no more WCW, and they're comparing charts, and this is from Gerwick.net. You can check the source. Yeeks. This is 2015? Are you kidding me? It went from almost a 6 down to a 2. Yeah, they're still in good standing, though. That's not bad. 2.64 million viewers. That's their average viewers. So they reached 1,063,000. That's insane. Their highest rating, if I'm looking down the numbers, 3.27. Guys, I don't mean to bore you to death with statistics, but ratings kind of does have something to do with the entertainment that you see now. Because obviously, Ambrose is hurt, Jason Jordan's a stand-in, and people ain't liking it. 25 years ago, Monday Night Raw was lucky and fortunate and blessed to have an Evolution, guys. That included Shawn Michaels, that included, well, for a brief period of time, Diesel, Razor Ramon. The Hart Foundation got created late. You had Jim Cornette managing. You had him announcing. You had him producing. You had him writing. Now, the complete change of how the crowd is wanting just the end result, the right away. And I think Monday Night Raw has kind of just fizzled a little bit. They've still got Matt Hardy. They've still got Bray Wyatt. They've got entertainers. It's just the problem now is that is it going to entertain the masses long enough like it did back in the day? And the answer is, yeah. Because you're still going to have fans who show up to the events. You're still going to have fans who pay close to over most of their life savings just for WrestleMania, just so they can get the package to, you know, have fun. In other words, WrestleMania access. So, if you think on this, if you think long and hard, the reason why Monday Night Raw was explosive last night is because they've got to have a build that they had from San Antonio last night and bring it into, well, you know, Brooklyn and the Manhattan Center, because Raw is a very special thing. I mean, to be 25 years old as a show, I'm not talking about the generation now because it's kind of sad. But that's a different subject for a different day. Monday Night Raw has evolved from semi-entertaining, boring, cartoonish characters to live, in-your-face, I-will-beat-your-ass characters. How do I feel about Goldberg being inducted into the Hall of Fame? That I will talk to you guys about later. You got more question for me? Okay, well, before I hit off the rails, Wrestle Radio Edition, let me tell you, it feels good that things are starting to fly. Okay, so your question to me is, do I think Trish Stratus should come back full-time? She's got kids. So the answer is maybe, because that's a very strenuous lifestyle. All of us who know how the wrestling lifestyle works, you're on the road, you know, you have laughs, but, you know, family comes first. So I would say maybe. I would say Trish Stratus comes back. I definitely agree, man. And in a minute and 25 seconds, I'll explain that to you. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, wow, I'm getting a lot of questions about Hall of Fame now, and I'm talking about Monday Night Raw, so you guys want to, yeah, I'm not saying you can't ask questions about that. I think Owen is definitely a good candidate that gets, his name gets brought up a lot. I don't know, and I don't want to touch that subject, it's very sensitive, but if you ask my opinion, I will gladly PM you, sir. I know exactly who you are. Yeah, we used to watch wrestling a lot. This is funny. Oh, my goodness. Really? Is it really that time? So I want to? Is this thing on? Yeah. Hit me a little with that Brian Rails, should we? Should we? Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something high. There's a lot that I would like to discuss with you today on today's show of Wrestle Radio Off the Rails edition, that is. I mean, I basically thought my dental appointment would be the dental appointment from hell, and that I could talk and relay you my thoughts. But you know me, I'm an open book, and I don't have any fucking filters. Okay? So my assessment of Monday Night Raw, I want to say thank you to whoever decided to let Braun Strowman loose, because it was funny, the whole bit in catering where he beat up Curt Hawkins. That was, you know, that was expected because he was upset. Supposedly they got fired. Next thing you know, you see a guy holding a cake, and it was so funny because he just, it was fucking funny. Takes a cake, takes a bite, and then just throws it into wherever he threw it into. And San Antonio got fortunate that they got to see a side of Raw that hasn't been seen in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Not to say that Raw isn't controversial. Not to say that Raw is ridiculous. But I got to say this. There's bits and pieces of it that I like. There's bits and pieces of it that I didn't like. And to reflect upon the 25 years of Monday Night Raw, we can't forget, we all can't forget the 25 years of war of words between Heyman, McMahon, and Bischoff. And also the people in between that little cesspool of controversy. And who am I referring to? Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan, Larry Zbyszko, Tony Schiavone. All of them have respect for WWE, but they... I watched some very interesting tidbits of the Monday Night War just for today's show on the WWE Network, which you can purchase for $9.99 on a valid debit or credit card. Or, better yet, you can get a preloaded card for $24.97. If I'm wrong on the price, forgive me. Go to WWE.com. Have a valid email address and password. If you have not signed up, yeah, if you haven't signed up for the network, you need to do so, sir. This is funny. I don't. You know what? Here's the thing. Sign up for the network. You can sign up for New Japan's network also. It's $10. If you don't know conversion of yen and American dollars, it should show you on the tab, my friend. Speaking of awesome networks, you can provide an awesome network to yourself by going to monsterfactory.org and signing up for the Monster Factory Network. And there's also a documentary on the Monster Factory Network on YouTube, but it's also on the network, which makes it clear and concise, and you can actually see how Danny Cage works, operates, and kicks ass at the Monster Factory daily. Okay. Speaking of Monster Factory, there is a super camp coming up. There's a seminar for Bill DeMott during NXT TakeOver. If you really want, you know, you can go there, learn, soak up, absorb knowledge. There's a super camp also April 20th and 21st. Be sure to sign up through Monster Factory link. Should show Eventbrite. They will pick you up from whichever airport, which is, you know, I suggest you fly into Philly. It's 38 minutes. It's closer. If you go to the camp, they'll provide food. They'll provide awesomeness, knowledge, stuff for you to use in the world of professional wrestling. This is the same group of people that train Matthew Riddle, Sheamus, Gabby Martinez, Punishment Martinez, and Ring of Honor. They also have the current Impact Tag Team Champions, or were the Tag Team Champions in Impact Wrestling. So therefore, they've trained a lot of good people. Big names, too. I mean, look at how popular Matt Riddle is. And get my point. Go to MonsterFactory.org. Sorry, folks, it was kind of a segue into the advertisements. Last bit of advertisements that I will do for you today so I can get back on point. Kick cancer square in the ass. Go to Susan G. Komen and cureforconnor.com. Make sure you donate your time, donate your money, donate yourself to helping a loved one fight through their debilitating cancer. It's not fun. Trust me. We've all had loved ones that have had cancer and they have either passed away from it or they are suffering from it. Please help and fund the research to both those websites. Go to SusanGKomen.org. Go to cureforconnor.com. Click on the link on WWE's website on WWE.com, Cure for Connor. There's also a Facebook link to it. There's a Twitter account link to it. Be sure to help fund the research to kick pediatric cancer square in the ass so one day we can all find a cure. All right, folks, let's take a look at the tail of the tape. 1993, WWE Raw comes, and it's going up against things like Monday Night Football. It's going up against TV, you know, late night talk shows. Things, you know, a lot of this Monday Night Raw stuff, I don't recall when I was 6 years old, but I do recall a lot of it when I was 10 or 11 years old because, like I told you, I grew up watching ECW. And some of the stuff that occurred during Attitude Era to me was a direct rip off of ECW. But everybody rips off somebody. Imitation is the cheapest form of flattery. In WWE's case, they had a bigger platform, if you will. Production, and they had big names at the time that kind of just paralleled something that you didn't parallel. It was unlike anything you'd ever seen. At first, you know, like some people say it was very cartoony, people didn't like it. I kind of agree because as a child, when you see guys like Doink the Clown, Duke the Dumpster, you kind of wonder, what is the purpose for my existence? Not as a child, but if you were probably 12 years old or 13. That's why wrestling got kind of the reputation that it did, because they're like, oh, most of them use steroids. Most of them don't even, they're not real athletes. Or don't pay attention to wrestlers because that's fake shit. Well, let me explain something to you. If you were a wrestling fan from the 80s up until now, there was no Monday night wrestling. There was Saturday night main event. There was wrestling on Thursdays. Hell, there was wrestling on Wednesdays. There's not that much history regarding a Monday night show. Okay. From what I understand, from what I've seen, Monday Night Raw was kind of non-existent, obviously. So, 93, you had a lot of sitcom shows like Family Matters was a thing, Boy Meets World, Step by Step, Full House. Those were the shows that had lasted a long while. Now, okay, people can argue the case of The Simpsons. Monday Night Raw is referred to longest weekly episodic running TV show. Go figure, right? Oh, my goodness. So, there was a few things that stood out that made Raw kind of explosive on the very first episode. Sherry, Luna, they went at it several times. Sherry, I guess, went to WCW, obviously managing Harlem Heat. There's a lot that people don't know, or some do, and they're like, why are you relaying stuff we already know? Because 25 years is a big deal. WWE's had big name after big name after big name come on this show, even after the fact people said they were watered down and their careers were nothing. There's different thinkers when it comes to the Monday Night Wars. I actually was a fan of WCW and WWE. Now, some people say, well, that's bandwagoning. No, not necessarily when you're a wrestling fan and people make fun of it. And it's nice to hear in friend circles hearing a discussion about wrestling and it's not getting made fun of, or, oh, that fake shit, can we please change the subject? It was nice during that time because I, like many others, were a social outcast if they liked wrestling. It wasn't really a thing until I hit middle school. That's when everybody started really getting into the flow of just cheering because it was like a trend. I, guys, let me tell you something, and most of my friends know this. I hate following certain trends. If I find something that I like it to be unique. I like it to be different. What was Monday Night Raw when it first came on the scene? It was different. It was unique. It was in your face. And when they finally added Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler as the commentators for the show, kind of was the thank you. These are the missing pieces to the puzzle. JR's voice compared to Vince McMahon's, you know, announcing the show, Vince had his moments where it's distinctive, people recognize it, but it just wasn't really adding up. It just wasn't making sense. So when they added JR to the mix as a full-time announcer, not just a backstage announcer, some, you know, scrub in the back, let me tell you how huge that was. You have Tony Schiavone, Larry Zbyszko, and Bobby the Brain Heenan on the other end as panelists, and the announce table is not anywhere near the ring because that way it doesn't get destroyed. WCW, back in the day, I like to say the only voice I recognize or recall, remember, Schiavone's kind of distinctive, Zbyszko's, Bobby the Brain Heenan, great color commentator, he was great. You know, the way he could add accolades to people like Goldberg and Sting. But then you had JR. God is my witness. He is broken in half. That man's got a family. The man's got a family, damn it. What a hideous human being. Just those connotations right there. The way that he would put himself in jeopardy in interviews, during interviews on Monday Night Raw, JR, that's who I'm referring to. He basically got his ass beat. He got lit on fire. He got destroyed by China, of all people. He's put in the match, you know. He got the mandible claw from Mankind during that one interview in 97, I believe, or whenever the interview took place. But Jim Ross was a huge vital part of the Monday Night Wars. He just amplified the show a lot more. Good God Almighty, we've got a world awaiting here. His voice is a part of the video game, and then some. And Jerry Lawler, well, of course, adding the perverted yee-hoo and the puppies. I mean, it's funny shit. It's definitely part of history, and you can't deny that. So why is it important for a fan to just reminisce on the good old days in WWE? Well, for starters, even if you're out of touch with it now and just watch Ring of Honor and New Japan and wrestling that can actually make you happy, I'm referring to the current wrestling situation. So, here's what I got to say. The reason why I'm reminiscing and relaying on Monday Night Raw is because I don't like the same format every single fucking time. And the reason why I've decided to go to a two-part format is because it makes sense. You don't want to stay the same every year. You want to try something different. I mean, why not? I'm paying $39 a month for this shit. Might as well enjoy it while it lasts, right? There's always going to be people that say, oh, wrestling. Why watch that when I could just watch Jerry Springer? There's going to be lines like that, my friend. You just got to, was it Caleb? Caleb from Tupelo, Mississippi. That's cool. I've never had anyone message me from Mississippi. You listen to my show? Nice. Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm sorry I got you in trouble. Well, then you shouldn't repeat what I say, sir. How old are you? If you don't mind me asking. You're 19. Well, are you still in school? Is that why? Well, that's kind of unfortunate. Anyways, folks, not to negate the entire discussion and also basically what I think. I believe that people almost always remember the evolution that Raw went through. No women wrestlers in the very first stages of it. You had very few. And you didn't have very many matches showcased because it was a man's world back in the day of wrestling. I mean, the only company to break that intergender portion of it was probably ECW. But this is not about them. This is, you know, a story about how it correlates with WWE Raw. ECW, WCW, WWE. No one remembers USWA, NWA, because it was kind of non-existent. Okay? The territories kind of just fell apart when WWE decided, let's bring what ECW did to mainstream and call it Attitude. I know I'm going to catch a lot of hell from this because some of you are saying, they didn't take anything from ECW. Oh, really? So what do you call tables breaking, people getting powerbombed off the stage, Mick Foley implementing Cactus Jack, Mankind, and Dude Love, bringing back the good old days, right? Triple H being, you know, fading in and out as heel baby face, he was kind of a tweener. It was great because a lot of the crowd would react no matter what Triple H was, which is kind of why he's one of my all-time favorites alongside The Undertaker and Stone Cold. Stone Cold Steve Austin was a man that was probably one of the biggest influences in WWE history, okay? Started out as Stunning Steve Austin in WCW, got fired by a phone call by Eric Bischoff. So, how does, you know, I think, though, Stone Cold, some people will argue with me, was the biggest impact ever to grace the Attitude Era. He, by far, was one of the reasons why it was one of the highest rating, you know, had one of the highest ratings in history. You had NFL teams paying attention to what's on a wrestling screen because of the show Monday Night Raw. Am I 100% behind the show? No, because you all know that I bite at it, I criticize it, I chew it up and I spit it back out and I laugh at myself for doing it, because if you take a peek into the history of how Raw came about and how where it is now, it's a machine, that's for sure. If you end up on Monday Night Raw, people say your career dies. And speaking of that mentality, Dash and Dawson from The Revival basically stated, we are not entertainers, we are wrestlers. Now, as boring as that may sound to some of us, they do have a point. Raw doesn't really have gimmicks, you know, that really entertain, except for if you look far enough or deep enough, you'll find that the roster has Cesaro, Sheamus, Bray Wyatt, which is, in my opinion, one of the best workers. They're the most underrated workers on that roster. You've also got guys like Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy. I don't know if he's going to come back for the Rumble, so keep that question away. And any questions regarding Royal Rumble, you know, you can send them through Wrestle_Radio or BTrain05000, through the Instagram, that is. And no, I'm not biased towards Raw, because here's the reason. A show that actually puts forth good effort and actually puts forth wrestling like SmackDown Live doesn't really get chosen. But have they ever had wrestlers say on their show, on the live TV segment, to say, we are not entertainers, we are wrestlers? Commend them, even though in the back of my mind, people don't get why people say, fuck The Revival. It has nothing to do with their ability. It just, thank you, Cody Rhodes and the Bullet Club, for putting that in my brain every time I see them. Kind of funny, but what I'm getting at through this long-winded babbling is Monday Night Raw has shown an up-and-down kind of mentality. It's just, It depends on what group of guys and gals are together. And this group is, I guess, very special because you've got people that have grown from their, they were furnished, they were furbished in NXT. They were polished. That's a better word. I am referring to Sasha Banks. I am also referring to, Sheamus. Cesaro, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. All those guys and gals that I just listed, there's more, even though Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and most of the majority of the good peoples from NXT are, well, they're on SmackDown Live. Oh, yes, and I forgot Raw's one saving grace that keeps people, you know, at attendance. Asuka, by far, is probably one of the most successful women I've seen since a sensational Sherry. Speaking WWE related, yes, Alundra Blaze was very good and technically sound. She was a dying breed, if you will, because Jacqueline came and then Luna Vachon was still there. And then you had Chyna, you had Lita, you had Trish Stratus. There's just a ton of names that I can list out that were great attributes to Monday Night Raw. But the reason why I said it's got an up and down way about it is because the ratings speak for itself. If you just have straight up technical wrestling, probably 30 to 40% of the people who like that style of wrestling will tell you. I like this Raw because, you know, Chris Benoit and Perry Saturn put on one hell of a match. Or I like this match because it was very technically sound, and there was no errors. It just was very smooth. The match was good, you know, very smooth pace, everything. That's one half of what wrestling is. If you're all about moves and no mic skills, yay. But if you are an all-around, you're technical, you're smash mouth, you're high flyer, you're good on the mic, thank you to Dwayne The Rock Johnson for making Raw possible. Just saying. And also Smash Mouth, fierce swilling rednecks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Thank you too. And for creepy, evolving 6'10" badasses, The Undertaker. Thank you, sir. For guys who had multiple wrestling gimmick personality disorder, Mick Foley, you crazy Reich bastard. I love you to death. There are lots of personalities on Monday Night Raw that come through, and if you paid attention to straight from the source, one of those personalities, it's sad that the rumors are true about this, because I know he's a good guy. I know deep down he's a good guy. Enzo Amore does more with kids than most people, you know, in the wrestling business. He takes the time out to say hi and take pictures with you and sign autographs. To me, I think that's a good guy. But at the same token, the attitude that I saw displayed with Corey, I'm surprised Corey was as calm as he was. I've been watching the network. I have nothing to do, folks. I've been off all day. I go back to work tomorrow. But at the same token, aside from all the Raw discussion, we're going to take a break. The way that Enzo approaches certain things, I can't fault him because he is a champion for now. Most people say that he can't do certain things. He goes out and does them. So there's a certain respect level on that end. But the way the interview was approached, do you want him to sugarcoat shit? Nah, he's not going to. But at the same token, the way Corey asked him, like, you know, there's some Twitter beef with you and Big Cass, and Big Cass said he was classless. It's really hard to jump on board with somebody that isn't really remorseful or doesn't really care and say, no, this is how I am, this is how you've got to deal with me. I'm kind of at a loss for words because I used to dig Enzo. I used to dig him from the very beginning, and people say, oh, he's so annoying, he's got a mouth. It's really sad when he proved that point. straight from the source. If you don't have the WWE Network, it's on there. And Corey Graves basically even at one point said, I hope things get better. I don't really necessarily like him, but I hope things get better for the superstar. Enzo basically changes in a different locker room. And it's sad when he compares himself to Ric Flair. I guess being a two-time champion makes you bad. I don't know. Speaking of the Cruiserweights, there are rumor mills going around that Neville is returning to WWE. That has not been confirmed or denied, so it is possible. And, oh, there is something interesting that peeked into my brain and my friend, a friend of mine. We watched this last night after Raw, the top 25 moments. Interesting how CM Punk is ranked at number 2. Now, the inner mark in me says, I really wish he would come back. I really hope that he comes back. It's entertaining a thought in everyone's head that his merchandise is still on WWE.com. I mean, this guy is simply the reason why people say, well, I don't really like him. He does this for a signing, and I don't care. Yes, he is a part of WWE's historic past where they turned off his microphone on the 25th. And, you know, they're showing moments, and Punk ends up as number 2. Holy fucking balls, yo. That puts in the fans' brains, what if? And if it doesn't happen, you know, which I know is most likely, there's a saying, though, never say never in World Wrestling Entertainment. How many people would have believed that Kurt Angle would have come back? How many people would have thought that you would have seen Shelton Benjamin return? Granted, most people don't know who that is when you ask them. For non-wrestling fans, they only know big names like Hogan, Cena, Piper, Savage, Flair, Warrior, and a variety of others. How you doing? Ugh, let me get that out of my brain. How's he going? So, in other words, there's a lot of stuff to cover in 2018 that I just tell you, man, I'm going to respect to almost $3,000 on WrestleMania. Again, some people are like, well, that's nothing. I spent this much on WrestleMania. Good for you. I'm glad. Okay? I will tell you this, and I will tell you this right now. My goals are not written on Facebook. They're not written on a piece of paper. So how am I achieving all this? Some of it's luck, but then some say luck is for losers. I'm going to answer your question as best I can, my friend. Well, Eliza from Louisville, Kentucky. Well, outside of Louisville, she called me deadass. It's a good friend of mine. I've known her for 9 years. Where I plan on going? I plan on going to WrestleCon, of course, my dear. Of course. You better come visit moi. Yes, you better. That's so refreshing to see a friend of mine. You know what? I would venture into saying that the best opportunity for the reason why I complete this is because I'm dedicated, motherfucker. I am dedicated to just enjoying myself because I never really had these opportunities in the past, so I'm living out what I couldn't do beforehand, and that is have fun and just enjoy. You know, if you hit a limit, you hit a limit. It is what it is. And I'm not assuming anything. I'm not jumping to conclusions. But yesterday about Paige, it was so up and down. And she still, you know what? I got to give the woman credit. You cracked me. You she on social media is giving hope to those of us who feel like we're there, we're not there. So in that regard, thank you. I know I'm harsh on her, but it's just my personal feelings towards her. It's more or less, have I met her? As I said briefly, she probably doesn't recall or remember. It's just the same thing, man. People want her to succeed. That's great. More power to you. It's the people surrounding her that are holding her back. Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, I'm sorry. No one even knows who the fuck you guys are, and no one cares. The reason why people tune in to Monday Night Raw is not for a Mandy Rose or a Sonya Deville. It's Paige, Sasha Banks, Asuka, Mickey James. That's one area I would like to touch upon. Monday Night Raw has been known to have factions that made no sense. But for the time being, the oddities, the corporate ministry obviously made sense because it had all the main people and main ingredients, like the Big Boss Man, the Big Show, the Undertaker, Nidian, I guess, Edge, Christian. At one point in time, people thought that Stone Cold would have joined the corporation. Eventually, he did kind of join the dark side, but it was kind of the Alliance in 2001. So if we're going to go in chronological order of groups that make sense, NWO, because of the events surrounding Hogan, and that was WCW. And then you've got in WWE, you've got, he has several groups that came in and out. The Clique in 96 at Madison Square Garden, which now in turn became the forefront for WCW to take advantage of that and use the NWO. Then in 1997, the creation thereof, D-Generation X, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Rick Rude, and then China was later introduced. So you got a lot of names. A lot. Okay. Anyways, back to what I was saying about Paige. It's good to see that she's optimistic and not, you know, having a defeatist attitude, because that's not the attitude you should ever have in wrestling. So despite me hating you know, how people are getting into a superstar, an individual that really kind of just, I don't know, I don't see it. Honestly, in my opinion, I really don't see it. She's ring rusty. She's, you know, optimistic about certain things. That's great. I guess what I could say is, like I told you yesterday, for those of you who can't take criticism, please sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. This generation, I'm going to touch on this subject right now. I have touched on Monday Night Raw. I've talked about the Monday Night Wars briefly, and I've talked about the people that were involved with it. I'm sure there's a longer list that I'm unaware of and think I don't have the time to hear it. But this generation of fans, some of you, not all of you, do not grasp how pro wrestling works. There's no wrong answer when it comes to, you know, seminars and stuff like that by asking questions, but dear Lord, wrestling has kind of condensed itself. In WWE, you're not allowed to blade because viewers would bitch and gripe at Vince like they did during the Attitude Era. I feel sorry for Vince sometimes, and I sometimes, well, kind of get agitated because for the first time in a long while, you see a wrestler throw a hissy fit, and it's a big old hissy fit because it's Braun Strowman. You guys, intergender matches did exist, but they were gimmick matches back in the day. Attitude Era, basically, okay, Sable and Mark Merrow, Triple H and China, Dustin Runnels, and or Goldust and Terry Runnels, Jacqueline and various other competitors, Jazz and the Dudleys. The reason it makes me mad is because this generation, no There's no more kayfabe because obviously you can't keep it. So what's the point? Kayfabe isn't the reason why I'm upset. Why I'm upset is because, gee, it takes very little for someone to get upset during a discussion. And it's not just wrestling. It's pretty much everything that you discuss with said generation. They don't want to listen. It's their opinion or the highway. Trust me, I've experienced it, not just in St. Louis, with a fan who was dressed in a fucking bunny outfit. You've got to be kidding me when you say words or sentences or phrases that say, I know the business just as good as anybody. The fuck you do. Okay? The fuck you do. And also, people are telling me as excited fan behavior to wait till the police go away from Madison Square Garden so that you can get autographs. Really, that's just really great. You paintbrushed yourself into that category. Okay, well, and that's not just this generation. I'm sure that it's been prevalent to that. And I had to get that off my chest because here's the thing, folks. Wrestling 25 years ago compared to now, the fact that Monday Night Raw is being celebrated is very interesting. Because who wouldn't want to celebrate a show in a milestone? But the question is, how much censorship has gone on because of this current generation? The way that people are complaining about pyro? Come on, that's the whole point of the show. You bring your kid to a show, get ready for this shit to, you know, hit the fan and have a kick-ass time. Monday Night Raw used to be the show where fireworks would come at the beginning of the show. There'd not be fireworks at the end of the show, but I mean, it was 3 hours. It was on network TV, it was on USA, and every time, I remember, after homework, begging and pleading, can I please stay up to watch it? Okay, you can only stay up, like, for an hour. I would sneak into the basement in my home in Brooklyn, and I would make sure that, like, the door would be creaked open so I could just run upstairs to my bed. Because I would talk with my friends. I mean, it was a very interesting time. You know, in fourth, or actually in kindergarten through now. I mean, even in college I would watch this shit. It was one of those, okay, you get the ball rolling, you watch it, you discuss. You go and you discuss with your friends the very next day what happened on Raw. Did you see what Vader did to Diesel? Did you see what Undertaker, what happened to his face, man? Oh, my God. I remember back in the day when Cool Moe Dee, Sir Mo, as they call him, was managing. I remember when the Nation of Domination was a thing. I remember, you know, when discussion points kind of got heated about Bret Hart. It's a lot of things that people in this generation don't quite get. And that's fine, because we're all fans of wrestling. People nowadays, you have to coax into thinking, okay, this is how this is. This is how this will be. Some people are good listeners and some people aren't. And what does this have to do with 25 years of watching one TV show? I mean, let's face it, without the special guest coming on the show, do you really honestly think that New York isn't spoiled? I mean, I love it. I love it because for the first time in a long time, guys, I'm going to see a show that started when I was 6, and others are older, but it's amazing how you can watch the evolution of competition. It went from WCW to now Ring of Honor doesn't compete against Raw. New Japan doesn't compete against Raw. But there's still competition. So does that amplify, or does that make WWE step up their game? I mean, we'll see. We will see as a collective audience of wrestling. We'll see how well WWE responds, because so far, you know, they're doing better. Last year, I mean, last year's Raws basically just had no... just, I mean, it had its ups and downs. The Shield, yes, they did reunite. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. Because I love watching that happen. But then again, it's like when DX reunited for the umpteenth time. Just kind of, well, it depends on how you are as a fan. It depends on your perception of what happens and what occurs, okay? WWE, as a whole, people will still buy shirts. People will still find ways to make it to the events. So how is Raw any different from 25 years ago? I can just explain right now how much the audience is going to hate me for saying this, but a lot of rip-off concepts that made it to the big time because why? They are in desperate times, desperate needs, or else WWE goes to the crapper. They would just get rid of Monday Night Raw, and Nitro would have been supreme. Yikes. WCW supreme? I mean, they did have Sting, or reigning supreme, I should say. That sounds better. That sounds like a really, really interesting pizza, but here's the thing. Nitro had its moments too, and I know that some of the boys in WWE are like, yeah, they did. The whole Sting versus Hogan thing, Starrcade in 97, that set the tone. Before that, NWO. So if you want to take a look at the history books, WCW had interesting moments with Mick Foley. And as I told you before at the beginning of the show, who would have thought that an average Joe, Mick Foley, a very articulate human being, a very interesting, very off-the-wall, very, you know, very risk-taking kind of human being. The man who decided to start at the top of the cell. How nuts does one human being have to be? Because I'm sitting there watching the match as a young kid in that arena, sitting in the nosebleeds, the very tail end of the nosebleeds, so I can see out the balcony, and you see a blippet just go straight from the cage down. That's what got the attention of WCW. See, much like NWO got the attention of WWE, Mick Foley basically made Mr. McMahon kind of worried, saying, I don't want to ever see that crap again, because believe it or not, guys, Vince does have a heart, and we do blame him a lot for certain decisions, but the man really is good. Okay, he is the godfather of WWE Raw. He's also the father-in-law to the man who helped spawn NXT. Again, I'm bringing up a sub, you know, beneath WWE type thing. The main roster, if you will, is comprised of men and women who made the sacrifice to, you know, spend time away from their families when they trained in Tampa to go and become WWE Raw superstars or SmackDown Live. What does this have anything to do with the 25 years that Raw has been in existence? They didn't have, I mean, they had a performance center in New York, and obviously their headquarters, which are located now in Connecticut, in Stamford, and also Greenwich. But the point is, as a mega titan, WWE's had to survive through a lot of bad times. There are people suing WWE back in the day. There's still people suing because they're ignoramuses who know that there are disclaimers at the beginning of the show saying, please do not try this at home. Please do not try this shit at home. Well, basically, if they put a disclaimer like that, maybe people might pay attention. But Monday Night Raw was so popular, guys, back in the day. You had incidents where Stephanie McMahon was kidnapped by the Undertaker in the ministry, and there's a burning Undertaker symbol outside the McMahon home. I mean, you have a lot of history there. A lot, too much history to, for me on one show to record for you guys. Championships have been decided and retained on Raw. And one of the most memorable moments I've ever seen, by far, they're two near, almost in the clear, becoming champions. That was Jeff Hardy and The Undertaker. Triple H versus Ric Flair, where Ric Flair was hoisted on the shoulders of certain random WWE superstars, because we all knew that that was it, supposedly, for the Nature Boy. At that point in juncture, was that part of his career, was that over? I don't think so. But I do know this, guys. I do know this. Monday Night Raw, whether you love it or you hate it, you still tune in, even if you do not. You catch some of it on YouTube on advertisements, so therefore you can't escape it. For those of you who have fallen out of touch, things how you guys, most of my age group, will claim fame to the witnessing of the Attitude Era, because it's one of the greatest accomplishments, it's one of the greatest achievements. I mean, look at the ratings that it got. I mean, it had the ring. The ring is broken so many times. I mean, I don't know if I can count on fingers and toes to tell you that Lesnar has been a part of breaking the ring. Braun Strowman, The Big Show, the Big Boss Man, God rest his soul. There's been cool moments where the ring has been infiltrated by The Undertaker. Who would have thought, you know, if you want to complain, there's probably a complaint email box from WWE Corporate that you can email. My kid tried to do a tombstone pile driver onto the floor, and we have a wooden floor, yada, yada, yada. And here's the thought that really makes me laugh. It's the one show that I can watch even without a friend and still feel like, man, I can identify with this show. Monday Night Raw, even though it's had its moments of dull, lethargic, boring, you know, this is awful. At one point, there was 5,000 people in the seats from where I used to live in Kansas City at Sprint Center, because this show was just so god-awful. Now, thankfully, wrestling has been evolving constantly with the independents like Ring of Honor, New Japan, Wrestling Revolver, Evolve, CZW, so on and so forth. So I think that it's a big deal that they are celebrating momentous occasion, because why not? It obviously got attention from ESPN. It got attention from Rolling Stone. All the major magazines, all the major presses are covering this. Now, granted, is everyone going to sit home on a Monday night to watch this? Hell the fuck no, I'm going. I am going to Barclays and Manhattan Center, folks. And I'm going to watch, because, yes, it'll be cold as balls when I get back home to New York. Surprise! I'm in Kansas City. up until a certain time, and I'm not going to reveal when. So if you want to catch me, try to, but very elusive. So anyways, aside from the reveal of where I'm doing the show from, for the time being, I'm going to tell you. Monday Night Raw means a lot to me, because as an individual who was always an outcast, a social outcast, it made sense to watch something that kicked ass. I could watch somebody go through a table, if I could watch somebody get stunned, or, you know, see Stone Cold drinking beer, if I could see, you know, stuff live that really captivates my attention, even just if it's just for 2 hours, I'd be happy. Because wrestling, whether it's a Monday Night Raw, Ring of Honor, Evolve, New Japan, Omega vs. Jericho, doesn't matter what it is, who it is, and where it is. Wrestling's just fun. It's entertaining. And if guys like Chris Jericho, if guys like The Rock can entertain the masses and keep people intrigued on what they're going to say next, and they're hanging upon every word that they're going to hang upon, it's great. Because I'll tell you one thing. After the Attitude Era, I would say it would be Attitude Era. I wouldn't say there would be another Attitude Era, but it did include Stone Cold. It did include Shawn Michaels. And, of course, the one, you know, constant, Triple H. That man deserves a lot of the credit, not just for NXT, but basically providing input to the people that are writing this shit. Because if he did not, and it's not just Triple H by himself, I know there's names that I'm probably going to be called a mark for mentioning, but Jamie Noble, Joey Mercury, Michael Hayes, oh, and here's my favorite, Kevin Dunn. I don't know how to word this, but if it weren't for Triple H, and if it weren't for certain other people that were creatively thinking together as a unit and not just by themselves, thankfully, well, you wouldn't have what you have right now. I guess mediocrity kind of was a common theme for 2017. You're going to go through years where not everyone's into pro wrestling, because now, for some odd reason, there's a gazillion shows popping up on a thing we like to call Netflix. So, WWE Raw, over 25 years, has provided me a chance to love it, hate it, can't get enough of it, to loving it and hating it at the same time. It sounds like a pre-watered-down WWE Hall of Fame speech, so I'm just going to keep it short and keep it simple. I love wrestling. I like the fact that I'm able to say that WWE Raw provided an outlet for a young guy who basically had no clue about the business. And just because I got involved doesn't mean shit, I know. But I have a deeper appreciation for it. Because I'm not really involved right now other than being a broadcast journalist. My very first show of the year, folks, believe it or not, you know, it was an NWL show, and it was a lot of fun. Jack Draper versus Jeremy Wyatt, but we're not here to discuss NWL. We're here to discuss Monday Night Raw. Again, it was a therapy for me to look at and say, I wish they would have done this better. I wish this person would have been presented better. Who am I, you know, I could refer names like Paige. I wish you were presented better because you deserve better. You're an awesome woman. Samoa Joe, really? He's not in the Intercontinental title picture because he got hurt. Amazingly, surprisingly, The Miz is involved. There's nothing we can do about it. And who better than The Miz because he's a draw? I guess people aren't ready for guys like Samoa Joe. You know, there's moments, there's tidbits. There's segments that make me say, I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed what you did on the show. So thank you, WWE, for giving me an outlet to criticize, to love, to enjoy, to cheer, to feel. 25 years. That's pretty badass. So thank you, Vince. Thank you, WWE, providing us some form of entertainment. Now, people may hate that, but without entertainment, yeah, wrestling would be very lopsided and boring. and that is just my opinion. What you think is productive and entertaining may be different than what I think is productive and entertaining. And somehow, all of us, we come to an agreement on one thing. We love pro wrestling. We're all fans. We're all marks for somebody, whether we want to admit it or not, because Monday Night Raw has provided us with pay-per-views that spawned off. And, you know, they're builds on builds that are just, you know, I can talk about The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels build, but we only got 2 minutes and 40 seconds left. The Triple H feuds between anybody and every, or him and anybody and everybody. It's amazing that the man's still working. He's healthier than anything or anyone that I've seen or witnessed. So, please note that I appreciate Monday Night Raw. It's why I criticize some of it. It's why I still have a job as a podcast host. It's why I still gravitate greatly towards watching a show that sometimes I just play games on my phone, and I'll admit, you know, sometimes the material and content is very boring. But thankfully, tomorrow on Off the Rails Uncensored, enough of the mushy shit, because here's what I'm going to tell you is, I appreciate, I love it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to dive into the business like I did the last time. What am I referring to? I'm going to discuss that with you tomorrow. It's about time somebody, what wrestling can be. Good or bad. That all depends on who you are and where you are and how you feel. So, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, as I've hit the minute mark, I will discuss with you how I'm feeling. I love the long dramatic pauses, don't you? If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I, Brian Rails, got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Toodles, bitches. I'm going to have fun on Raw, and I'm going to have fun at the Rumble. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Now, that didn't sound right. I got to say my saying, all right? How's it going? And toodles, bitches. The cost was so big. I'm a dear.